All right, so this is Bio 231, and this is the first lecture, and it's January 20th. Okay, and we're just talking about the syllabus, contact information. All right, here's the book you need. That's what it looks like. And here's a link to the bookstore if you want to find out if the bookstore has it or anything about the book. All right, what are some other things? You need an email account so that I can send you information. You enter that in personal information a number of different ways. That can be in Blackboard. That can be in my gateway. Make sure you put a current email address in there and keep it active the whole semester. And that means you got to check it every once in a while. Here's a link to the Blackboard virtual classroom. And from the syllabus, you can link to it directly. Just hover over that link, and what do? Press Control, and look, the arrow turns into a pointy hand, and that will open up a browser and take you to Blackboard, and you can link into it. The same thing for speed test and ping test. All right. Attendance, you got to be in class all the time, but you can read everything else in here. Drop date is in there for you. One of the nice things about the content in Blackboard is that if there is an assignment that you have to do for course points, or you don't have to do it, but if you want to get course points to pass a class, you have to submit this assignment, it's always going to be associated with this dollar sign right here. So you can look at a page in Blackboard. If there's a dollar sign, what does that mean for you? That's going to mean it's going to contribute to your grade. Those are for sure the things that you want to key on. Right, so you're going to see dollar signs throughout Blackboard. Okay, so how do you get a grade in this class? Well, we got some lab quizzes. Just about every lab you'll have a quiz, except on the days that you have a practicum. Okay, you don't have a practicum and a quiz on the same day. So that means there's going to be 10 lab quizzes. And there's going to be 5 lab practicals. You'll get the hang of that, and that's where you walk around the room, look at anatomical specimens, models, equipment that you should learn something about, and then be able to describe what the function is or what the name of that structure is. That's a lab practicum. There's going to be 5 of those, 50 points each. And then there's going to be online quizzes. Now, what can you tell? What's the adjective in front of online quizzes? Weekly, that's right. There's weekly online quizzes. So this course is really nice because it has some independent study content to it, but it's paced so that you don't get behind. You certainly don't want to get behind in this class, right? So every week there's a chunk of information that you have to know, and you have a little quiz on that. And this quiz is based on online quizzes that you can practice and take as many times as you want. And so this is a small subset of questions that are available to you, and I'll show you sometime during the semester, next couple times, where that is. Maybe today, because we didn't come to class on Monday. Okay. There are a couple quizzes. Quizzes. One last thing. You only get 10 minutes to take a quiz, so it's not much time to take it. So you got to be ready. Quizzes, online quizzes can be open book, open notes, right? So you should be able to just breeze through these online quizzes. And if you submit a quiz after 10 minutes, then that means it's no longer automated, and it's going to cause problems for your instructor. So that means that there's got to be a little bit of a penalty, right? There is a timer every time you take a quiz. So as you get to 10 minutes, you got to make sure you're done with the quiz. And so here's a penalty. If you go over a quiz by 1 minute, you lose 1 point. 2 minutes, it's 2 points. So basically, it's a point per minute. So I want people to be organized and ready when they take a quiz. So to help you get ready for quizzes, there are 2 that I call forever quizzes that you can take and make sure your computer is working and that you know the mechanics of what you have to click to get through the quiz. All right, I call those forever quizzes, and they're actually extra credit assignments, and they have this kind of icon, the forever stamp icon. That means you can take it as many times as you want, and the computer program is set up so it always stores your highest grade. All right, so if you got 100% on it the first time you take it, you can take it, 100 times and score maybe 5%, but it won't matter. You'll still get full extra credit for that assignment. Lecture exams, there's going to be 5 of them in lecture right here. They're going to be worth 200 points each, right? So that's why we see 1,000 points right here. And then the grade scale is just a straight 90, 80, 70, 60. All your grades will be in Blackboard. shortly after taking a test or a quiz. All right, it will be in Blackboard for an online quiz as soon as you're done taking it. So that's really handy. Okay, you can read all this other information right here. All right. Yeah, that's all just good reading information for you to know something about. Oh, there was one thing that I had in numerous places, and that is makeup exams. You don't really give any kind of makeup exams in here, right? So you got to be in class. You got to submit your assignments online at the proper time. All right, so here is our tentative class schedule, what we're going to cover. Today is orientation. Next time we're going to start cells. And here is your lab schedule. So those of you that have a Monday lab, you can see what quizzes you have to take on what date. And here's the first practicum. The first practicum for everybody is in 2 weeks, so just over two labs. So we kind of start in a hurry in this class just to make sure we can get it all through in one semester. Okay. So plan on being in lab every time for the whole period and participating. And just like in lecture, if you do some of the studying for lab ahead of time, that will make it fun and you can get through it and learn a lot. And if you have to figure everything out in lab, it might become very tedious and arduous for you and you might run out of time. So prepare in advance for the labs. You have the lab manual. Try to find some of the structures in your textbook, and that will just make lab really fun, actually, if you do that. Plus, you get to dissect a lot of cool things. Like what? What would you think you maybe dissect in lab? Oh, like brains and eyeballs and hearts and all that kind of stuff. So it's really good. Okay, so there are only 14 labs during the semester, so be prepared for those labs. Okay, so that's the syllabus pretty much. Let's go back to Blackboard. All right, and this is one thing that I would like for you to do. In course documents, you have all the lecture slides that I present in class. All right, so it's a .doc, which means what? It's just a Microsoft Word document. There are no images in here. Print these out so that you don't necessarily have to take notes. You can just modify these little Word files so you can really pay attention. You don't, and then maybe just fill some information in, because I know a lot of times when I'm copying something down, I miss what the instructor is actually talking about. All right, so this is a way maybe to help you pay a little bit better attention in class. All right, so let's go back to course documents right there. Lecture exam study guides. All right, so these tell you exactly where the lecture exams are coming from. Here's your textbook. Okay, and at the end of every chapter, there are multiple choice matching questions. The ones that I like are in the study guide. All right, there are also figures in the textbook that I like, some that I don't. The ones that I might photocopy and put on the exam are in the study guide for you as well. All right, they're in black and white so that you can't just memorize the structure by its color. You have to know the structure by what its relationship is to other structures in that figure. And so in the study guide, I erased all the names off the lead lines from a figure so that you can practice labeling that figure maybe 100 times if you need to, so that you know you have it understood 100%. Okay. Anybody know Bruce Lee? Or heard of Bruce Lee? Probably nobody knows Bruce Lee in here, but maybe heard of him?
Yeah.
Well, yeah? What was he? Let's see if we're still, because there's many hundreds of Bruce Lees out there. But which one am I talking about? The martial artist. All right. And he wrote a number of books about how you learn martial arts. And one technique that was really important to him was repetition. And that's going to be real important for you in this class as well. And Bruce Lee said for him to really understand a move, whether it's a block or a punch or kick or whatever, he would have to practice that particular move. How many times did he say, and he was fantastic, how many times did he have to practice that move? Anybody read any of his books? Or better yet, take instruction from him? No, you're too young for that. 2,000 times. Okay? So that's why he was the best in the world, right? So if you want to be the best in the world in anatomy, you could read and practice all of this material 2,000 times. All right? But you don't have to be the best. You just need to master it and get an A. So you might only have to read the book 1,000 times or 500 times. All right? But guess what? I don't know exactly what that number is, but it's more than one time. All right, it's going to be more than one time. So be aware of that. Repetition is key. Another good key in this class is to get to know some students that are in class, get to know some students that are in your lab, and get together and study, or get to know some students from SI, get together and study, but don't horse around, and ask each other questions. And that's how you develop your vocabulary and understanding of how to put words together and relate structures to each other. And in a lot of classes that I've taken, I probably learn more from other students and myself than my instructor, right? And that might be true in this class for you as well, right? So work with some other students as long as you stay focused. All right, so become familiar with these study guides this weekend. Start working with them, because if you procrastinate, you're doomed. All right, so please don't procrastinate. So to help with repetition, I have these pre-lecture reading assignments that you should do before lecture. They're really simple, right? And if you do this, then you'll have a much better understanding of lecture, and it will make it fun, actually. And you can ask questions if you don't know something. If you work these pre-lecture homework assignments the night before the test, you're probably doomed, right? They will help you a little bit for the test, but not very much, because they're so easy to do. All right, they're not at the same level as a test. It's an introductory little quiz to just get you going with that particular material. So read the chapter ahead of time and do the pre-lecture reading assignment. And these are the ones that I want you to show me as you walk in the door every time. Okay, even if you're going to fake me out, I want you to hold up this homework assignment and say, hey, here it is. Okay, and look, it's even filled out. That's fantastic. And if you want to keep them handy during lecture, in case you missed one, you can fill them in during lecture when I'm talking, okay? All right, so we got a lot of good things for you to work on here. Now, here is the crux of your online material. Here are your forever quizzes. I do want to take one forever quiz. These are going to be active the whole semester. These are what you use to verify that your computer is working, that your internet connection is working, plus you get some extra credit points. All right, so here is what, a nice executable link. Get in here. And if you want to do the speed test and ping test to write down these benchmarks, your bandwidths for uploading and downloading, how long it takes to send a signal from your computer to and have it come back, that's ping. And if information is lost when you send it out to the internet, we call that packet loss. And then when you send packets out on the internet, if there's variation in that packet, we call that jitter. All right, so you can check all of these things, write it down on a piece of paper, and then you can take the quiz. So just click on the quiz right here. Let's see if it's, if I did something. It should work. Click OK. Now. Okay, you know what? I think I need to log in a different way. Maybe next time I'll show you this, because there's going to be a timer right here. And how many minutes do you have to take this quiz? We're running out of time already. 10 minutes. That's right, we got 10 minutes. We'll do it. We got 10 minutes to do it. All right, how many extra credit points for this question? 0.5. Okay. All right, so the results of the speed test shows that my download bandwidth was, well, it should be high. Right? It should be greater. All right. And to get to the next question, there is a nasty, nasty booby trap in Blackboard, and we've tried to get it out of Blackboard, and the booby trap is, and this causes a lot of misery for people, including me, there's this save button right here. That will kill the quiz. That will hang up the quiz, and you won't get points for the quiz. All right, so the way you get to the next question is by hitting this tiny little arrow right here, and you see, what does it say if you hover over it? Go to next question. All right, so everybody has to say this. Never, never, never hit the save button, okay, when you're taking a quiz. So let's say it right now. Never, never, never hit the save button when taking a quiz. Even though it's the biggest button there and it looks like it's something you should do, quizzes you can never save in this class. But there's a better technique. Instead of mousing down to this little arrow right here, just hit when you like the answer, when you've selected the proper answer, hit the enter or return key on your keyboard, like that. All right, and then it's going to say confirm the question submission. Do you like it? Yeah. Hit the enter key one more time. And what does that do? That takes you to the next question. Jitter was, okay, we'll just say, you know, less than 2 milliseconds. All right, so I like that answer. What do I do? Enter, enter. Okay, so when you like a question, what do? Enter, enter. Never hit that save button. Okay, I'm sorry for the misery that that might cause you ahead of time. And it says it in this prose right here. Then you can go in your grade book and see, well, if you complete the quiz, it will tell you what you got right and wrong. All right, and then here is a similar kind of quiz on the syllabus after you read the syllabus. Right, and if you get something wrong, you can go back and read the syllabus and take that quiz a number of times. So these are things for you to get some points, but more importantly, check your internet and computer connection. All right, because it's not, I can't help you with that. All right, I can't like put a super high-speed connection in your house. But if your house isn't working or your laptop, then you got to come to campus and use a campus machine. Okay. Well, let's go back to weekly assignments. So, week one, week two, week three, these are all active. These are the dates that you should be working on these. If you're speedy, if you want to get ahead of schedule, that's fantastic. Okay, so you can actually get done with chapter one maybe over the weekend, then on Monday start chapter two. That's fine with me. All right, but just make sure that you don't start down over here on week three and forget to do week one and week two. Right, so you got to have a calendar in front of you. Make sure you know what week you're working on and don't skip them. So, introduction. Click on this. Here is the first page, which are objectives. You should read through these. Complete all the assignments, go back and read the objectives and make sure that, oh yeah, I know something about that objective and I know something about that one. But if you read an objective and it's totally foreign to you, then you've missed something, right? So this is just kind of a nice check to see how you're doing. To get to the next page, click the arrow. All right, here are a bunch of nice labeling exercises. These are all exam figures, which might be on the exam, so what's a nice easy way to practice these? Well, let's execute this link and let's see what opens up. Hopefully a picture of some kind. It's a drag and drop. All right, so orbital, I think this is drag and drop. Yeah, it's a drag and drop. Orbital means that it's a region pertaining to the eye. And there's probably an audio track here. Okay. Umbilical. What region is that, do you think? Here? No. Ah, right here. Ah, really good. All right, so you get a little fun feedback. Sorry about that. Okay, so you can practice this, you know, thousands of times. You don't get credit for this, but you might have this exam, or you might have this figure on the exam, right? So this is really easy to do. You can practice this many, many, many times. Okay, so those are all the labeling exercises. What do we got right here? Some kind of animation that talks about cavities, which I'm going to talk about today. So you just work through all these different exercises, okay? During the week, and here are the practice quizzes for you. All right, so we got some simple multiple choice, difficult, and some even more difficult. In my opinion, they're that much more difficult, but they're different levels. These are the questions that I like in this exercise, and from this pool of questions comes the official online quiz, which is in the next page. So take these online as many times as you want. Let's click it. Okay, let's see if it's active. Yeah. All right, which one should we start at? I didn't look. I don't think that's the first one. Question two. Which statement best describes the relationship between structure and function? Ooh, this is a hard question. The functions of specific body parts always determine their anatomy. Okay, I don't know if I like that. Anatomy of specific body parts often suggests their functions. I kind of like that one so far. Structure and function are only related to certain body regions. Nah, not true. The functions of most body parts are unrelated to their structure. I like B a lot. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that today. So answer all those questions, and then what do? You can hit submit, and it's going to say what? We're not going to do 100% because we only answered one question. One out of 29, but that's okay because we only answered one. All right, so go back and practice that until you get them 100%, and then when it's time, notice how I had it open up in a new window, then when it's time to take the actual quiz, what should you see? Dollar sign, right? Here you go. Here's where you get points for this module. All right, and then you take the real quiz right here. And it's going to, you have to do it in 10 minutes. It tells you how many questions are in there, and it also tells you when it's due by. All of the online quizzes are going to be due on Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Okay, so every week from now until after finals, you have an online quiz that has to be done, say it out loud, Tuesday night at 11 p.m. If your watch stops and you don't log on until 11:01 on a Tuesday, guess what happens? That quiz goes away. Okay? Yeah. And it is. This quiz is written so that you can take it only one time. Okay? Once you start the quiz, right, you have to finish it. Right? And once you get halfway through the quiz, you cannot go back to a previous question. So if you try to go back to a previous question, the quiz will stop, and you only get those number of points that you've completed so far. Okay? If you hit the save button, because you might want to go back to it later, it will break the program, it will stop, and you won't get any points either. So when you like an answer to a question, what should you do on your computer? Enter, enter, and you're good. All right? So don't even have your, put that mouse away when you're ready to move on to the next question. Yeah.
So it has to be done by 11, or you have to be signed in?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think you have to start it by 11. Okay. But you know what? I wouldn't, if it was me in this class and I want to get a good grade, I wouldn't take this I wouldn't take the quizzes on Tuesday. I would take the quiz on Monday to make sure they're done, because say tonight is Tuesday, and what's happening this afternoon? Big thunderstorm. You might not have an internet connection tonight when you go home. Right? And I can't control those thunderstorms for us in here. So I wish I can. Get these quizzes done as soon as you can. Okay? Yeah. Question? Did I hit it already? Okay. So enter to get to the next question. Yeah.
Windows, do not use Windows.
Oh, yeah. There's a number of different browsers.
Firefox doesn't work either.
Firefox seems to work really well. Okay. And it seemed to work pretty good for you. Okay, so we're talking about internet browsers. All right, like Macintoshes use Safari and other kinds of browsers. There's a new one out. Maybe it's not so new anymore. Google put out called Chrome. All right, but Windows has 7, and now the more recent one from last year is 8. 8 didn't work very well with Blackboard, and this is an answer to your question. Because there is a timer, there is a clock, and the clock covered up that little blue arrow at the bottom that you'd use to get to the next question. Okay? But there's been an update to Blackboard, and I think they fixed that problem. But if the clock covers up the arrow, how do you get to the next question anyway? Enter, enter. Okay? So I can't tell how it's going on every monitor. The resolution is set differently, so the clock might appear in different places. So I can't tell you exactly how a browser will perform on your computer. But the best way to tell is to do those forever quizzes. And if it works for the forever quiz, you're golden for the other quizzes. Okay? But if you get hung up, just hit enter, enter to get to the next question. Okay? Okay. So you can also, come see me during office hours or something. Okay, then you're done for week one, and you would be ready to go on to some other modules like here, like week two. Okay, so, and usually I ask students at the end of a class, what's one thing that they would recommend to their best friend to do during the class to help them get a good grade? Maybe their best friend is going to take the class next semester. So think of that and be able to tell me that at the end of the semester. Okay, some advice I've gotten was the pre-lecture reading assignments. Some students say, I'd like to download your lectures. Other students say the interactive exercises on the internet. Other students say, the labs really helped me a lot. And so almost everything I've done on here, students say is important to them. So you just got to try and see what helps you a lot. Oh, the other real important thing are the study guides, the exam study guides. Right? So there you go. That's some of the operations of the class. I know that was a little fast. Okay. But I'll say some more about this stuff later. So make sure this week that you learn how to log into Blackboard. You know your username and your password. The password that you use should be the one you use for your gateway or WebStar. It used to be half the time that password got transferred to Blackboard and half the time something else got in there. Now it's a lot better. It's maybe 90% of the time the correct password gets put into Blackboard. So if you can't get into Blackboard, see me and I'll just have you put your password in with my administrative account and it will work fine. So that's really an important goal this week, is to make sure that you can log into Blackboard and start using that. So during lab or office hours, I can help you do that. All right, so even if you're not in my lab, stop by and I'll help you with the computer that's upstairs. Okay. All right, well, let's start yakking a little bit about anatomy. Okay. So we're in chapter one. A couple definitions that we should be aware of. These are scientific disciplines. Oh, the other thing is we got to have a sign-in sheet every time. So find your name, sign it, and pass it on really quick. Oh, please. Yeah, you're welcome to. But I tell you what, sign this first and then pass it on because we might not have enough time. So don't dilly-dally with that sign-in sheet because there's a lot of students in here. Okay, anatomy is a scientific study of the structure of the human body. Okay, all of the particular parts, right? Like you got two hands, two feet, right? A couple ears, a couple eyeballs. Those are structures of your body. And that's the primary focus of this class. But what we're really interested in, right, and it's going to take you a couple semesters to get all this information, what we're really interested in is how does your body function? And we don't really care too much until it starts to misbehave, until it starts to function inappropriately. Then we're really interested. All right, but in order to understand something about the functioning of your body, the place where we have to start is by knowing the structure. So there's always an important relationship between structure and function. And that leads us to the second definition, and that is physiology. Physiology is the scientific study of how your body functions to maintain a healthy state so you can go about your daily lives. Okay, so the basis of function is actually structure. So that's what we're going to start with. And if you change the structure of something, that means that it's going to change the function of your body, for instance. Okay, and a pretty good example of that is that when I was growing up, I worked in a big machine shop, a big factory, running a punch press and a brake and spot welders and all that kind of stuff. So I'd have to hold metal pieces in and a big machine would come down and whack off a big chunk of metal from something. So I had to be really careful about my hands, where they were when I was operating equipment. And you can tell, how did I do? Fantastic, right? Because I got still 10 digits right here. All right, but let's just say I was careless and I lost a thumb off of my right hand. So I would change the structure of my hand. Now, what can you tell me about this hand right here in terms of function? Okay, I could still grasp things with my left hand because I have a really special opposable thumb, but I would no longer be able to grasp things with my right hand if I lost my thumb, right? So when you change the structure of your body, you change the function. And so it's really important to know what the normal structure of the human body is so that we can begin to appreciate what goes wrong when things start to change. So there's a relationship between structure and function, not just at the gross anatomical level. And gross anatomy is the kind of anatomy that you can see with your naked eye, like arms and legs and ears and things like that. But it's also important for microscopic anatomy, things that you need a microscope for. It's also important for even at the molecular level. If you change the shape of a molecule, guess what you're changing about that molecule? Not just the shape or structure, but the actual function that that molecule produces or undergoes in your body. Right? So it's really important, and we're going to look at structure-function relationships all the time in this class. Right? And that's actually kind of what makes anatomy fun. All right, so anatomy strictly is the study of function. Physiology is the study of, anatomy is the study of structure, right? Physiology is the study of function, but these are related to each other, and anatomy actually is the basis for physiology. Okay, so there are different branches in anatomy. Gross anatomy, we said, gross just means big, things you can see with your naked eye. Okay? Microscopic anatomy means you can't see it with your naked eye. You need a microscope, and that's what we're going to do this first week in lab, is to learn something about microscopes, how to use them, and look at things underneath the microscope. And it's like going to a different country. All right? You just pretend you're going on a trip, vacation someplace, when you look through a microscope. Developmental anatomy is a study where we look at how a body changes over the whole lifetime of the individual, from conception to death. And even after you're born, even after you're an adult, there are parts of your body that change constantly. What can you tell me about your grandma and grandpa? Okay, they got big ears. They got big nose. Why is that? Because your ears and nose grow all the time. It slows down, fortunately, right? Because otherwise they'd end up being 6 feet tall. But things in your body are growing and changing all the time. Your bones. You have new bones every 5 years, right? That's pretty amazing. They're not like these concrete pillars that we have in the room right here. So things are changing. Your structure of your body is changing all the time. That's an important scientific study to know how that changes. Embryology is how a person changes from conception to birth. We don't spend a lot of time with embryology in this class. That could be 3 or 4 semester class all by itself. All right. Surface anatomy is knowing something about anatomy by looking at landmarks that are on the surface of your body. Okay, like we can feel your rib cage, right? Feel a real important point right here. You have a breastbone right here. There's a pointy part to the breastbone. We call it a xiphoid process. Those of you that have taken CPR know something about that little xiphoid process right there. Because when you do chest compressions for somebody whose heart has stopped, you want to press on their breastbone, but not on the xiphoid process, because you could break it off and it could migrate into their liver, and then a person is going to bleed to death internally, right? That's not helping somebody. So knowing surface anatomy is sometimes real important. Systemic anatomy. This is how we approach this class, okay? By systems. And so we're going to, actually, this is the next part that I'm going to talk about. So I'll talk about it, I think, maybe I'm going to skip just a little bit. All right. Systems, we mean organ systems. So your body can be broken down into various organ systems that are kind of similar or related to each other. Like your digestive system. That's for extracting nutrients from your food, right? And getting electrolytes and water into your body. Your muscle system or muscular system, what's that important for? Yeah, for moving around. Or maintaining posture. You're not moving around right now, you're kind of sitting still, but you're still using a lot of muscles just to make sure your head doesn't hit the table and bounce off and then hit the chair and bounce off and then hit the floor, right? Just so that you can maintain posture. That's real important. All right? Skeletal system, what's that? Bones, right? So we're going to, this book is broken down into these various topics right here. So that's what we mean by systemic anatomy. And that's really a nice way to learn anatomy, by organ system. All right, we're going to pay a little attention to cytology, which is the study of cells. And a little bit of histology is when we put a bunch of cells together, it makes a tissue. And a tissue is just a group of cells all performing the same kind of function. So we're going to primarily study anatomy in a systemic way, right? But in order to know something about systemic anatomy, we need to know something about smaller things. All right, so that actually takes us to this right here. The levels of structural and functional organization in the body. All right, if you got something that's really big and complicated, how am I doing? Pretty good as far as time. Okay, if you have something really big and complicated in your life, like your finances, okay, and we all need money to survive, and sometimes, you know, I have no idea how much money I have and where it's going and taxes and all this kind of stuff. So, but if I want to appreciate my financial situation, what should I really do? What's a good way to understand something that's really complicated? Things coming in, going out, all over the place. Break it down into smaller pieces, right? To know something about, this is an important key term, building blocks, right? Know the building blocks of something, which are the smaller pieces. It's much easier to understand a building block, a small building block of something, than something that's really big and complicated. So we're going to look at a bunch of little building blocks. We're going to start with something small. What's something small inside your body? Cells are small. Okay, in physiology, we even start with something smaller. We start with molecules. We talk about molecules in here a little bit, but we actually start with cells, and there's a building block in cells that's important to know, and that's organelles. So that's pretty much where we're going to start in this class. Something really, really small, the building blocks that make a cell, and then cells are building blocks to make organs or tissues, and then tissues are used as building blocks to make organs. And that's the structural level, all right, of organization in the body. All right, so we got some chemicals. We're going to talk about just a few of these, like adenosine triphosphate, otherwise known as ATP. That's the energy molecule that runs your body. All right, so we take food in our bodies, and that food is converted into ATP, and that ATP can fuel and power our bodies. When somebody runs out of ATP, or when a cell runs out of ATP, what can you tell me about that person, body, or that cell? It's dead. Okay? ATP is that necessary molecule to maintain life. So that's a real important one. We have some other molecules right here, like calcium and sodium and potassium, and you see it has a little electrical charge. Those are what we call electrolytes. These are ions. Those are real important for maintaining health. All right? And then lastly, we got H2O. What's that? It's in a chemical symbol form. But you all know what that is probably anyway, right? H2, meaning there's two hydrogens there and an oxygen. That's what that means. And you all are familiar with that as water, right? Exactly right. That's water. And that might be even the most important molecule in our body. Okay, then there are some biological molecules like proteins and lipids and carbohydrates and nucleic acids. Those are the four classes of important biological chemicals in our body. And when you become familiar with these molecules, you know what the building blocks of these molecules are. For instance, the building block of a protein is amino acid. That you probably knew before you took a class, right? We talk about that all the time. Here's something about lipids. Probably didn't know the building blocks of lipids. They're fatty acids, phospholipids, cholesterol, and even glycerol. These are the building blocks that make up lipids in your body. Carbohydrates are made from monosaccharides. A good monosaccharide would be something like glucose or fructose. Okay, so a carbohydrate is just another fancy name for sugar, a sugar molecule. And then we have the last kind of molecule are nucleic acids, and we have two kinds of nucleic acids. We have DNA that makes up our chromosomes, and then we have RNA, which is similar to DNA, that helps in actually making proteins. These molecules right here are very helpful for containing information in our body. The blueprint on how your body is made and how it functions is contained within chromosomes or DNA inside your body. All right, so those are important chemicals. And if we put a bunch of chemicals together, what do we get? The next higher level of organization, which is the organelle. Various organelles. We got a nucleus that contains DNA. We got endoplasmic reticulum. There's a couple different kinds for making proteins or for making lipids. And the Golgi body is another example. In the next chapter, we're going to talk more specifically about these and how you can recognize them easily. But what's important for this slide is that if we take a bunch of organelles and put them together, what do we get? We get a cell. All right? And this is an important concept. The cell is the basic unit of life. So if you're interested in finding out if something is alive or not, you actually have to get a microscope and actually take a look and see if it is a cell. If it's a cell, it's a possibility that it's a life form, right? If something's happening and you can't find a cell in there, it's just a chemical process. It's not a living organism. Right, so a cell we call the basic unit of life. Okay, I call that the basic building block of life. If something's going to be alive, it's got to be built out of cells. Right, and Sometimes I call that the structural and functional unit of something. If you want to know the structural and functional unit of life, that means something about the structure and how these structures are working together, right? Then that is the cell. The structural and functional unit of life is the cell. And a cell has to have two of these components. It's got to have both genetic material, which is DNA and RNA, and cytoplasm. Cytoplasm is made up of all of these other organelles, right? Or other kinds of things inside the fluid inside of a cell. And if it doesn't have cytoplasm and genetic material, it's not a cell. Okay, bacteria have genetic material and cytoplasm. So is a bacterium alive? Yeah, it's a cell, not as sophisticated as a mammalian cell, but it's alive. And if it's alive, what can you do to something that's alive? It's that kind of flashback to an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. What was that? Alien. If it's alive, I can kill it, he said, right? When this alien was killing everybody on the planet. Okay, that's the same thing with bacteria. Since it's a cell, if you kill that bacteria, it can't cause infection in your body, right? So that's really handy. But there are other infectious particles out there in the world. What's one that's been a hot topic this year? H1N1. It's a virus, okay? And a virus, or all viruses, are strange because they never contain cytoplasm. So if a virus doesn't contain cytoplasm, can you consider it a cell? No. More importantly, if it's not a cell, it's not alive. How can you kill something that's not alive? You can't. That's why viral infections are so dangerous, right? There are no antibiotics that you can take to kill a viral infection. Because you can't kill it? Because why? It's not alive to begin with, right? So you got to come up with other kinds of strategies to defeat viral kinds of infections or viral processes. That's kind of interesting to think about. Okay, so if we take a bunch of cells and use them as a building block, what can we make? We can make a tissue out of them. And the really nice thing, and you'll be really relieved to hear, there are only four kinds of tissues that make up your whole body. All right, so that's a nice simple list. And they are epithelium that covers the surface, maybe lines a cavity. There's connective tissue that connects or supports different parts of your body, connects them together. There's muscle, which does what? It contracts, it brings parts of your body together. And then there's nervous tissue, which helps control your body over long distances. Those are the four kinds of tissues. So make sure you have those four on the tip of your tongue by next week. Epithelium, connective muscle, and nervous tissue. All right, and if we take a couple of these different kinds of tissues, like muscle and nervous tissue and connective tissue, put them all together, what do we get? We can use these as building blocks to make an organ. All right, so an organ is just two or more tissues that work together to perform one function. Your heart would be a really good example of an organ. Because what does your heart have?
Muscle.
It's got muscle. It's got nervous tissue. It's got connective tissue. And you're going to see it even has epithelium in there too. All right? It's got all four of those tissues. So it's not a tissue, it's an organ. And if we put a couple organs together, all right, that perform the same kind of function, we call that an organ system. Okay? Like the cardiovascular system. It's got your heart, but what else does it have? It's got, yeah, you could think it's got maybe your lungs in there. It's got blood vessels. Blood vessel is not a heart, right? It's an organ all by itself. So you got blood vessels and a heart working together. That's an organ system. And if we take all of the organ systems in the body and put them together, what do we get? We get you, right? All right, so we don't want to start studying you because we're way too complicated. We want to start studying what? Organelles. We got to get down to small building blocks and work our way up to see how we're all put together. Okay. So here are the organ systems that make up the body. Make sure that you know some parts of these different organ systems. You got some good figures in there, like urinary system. Name some building blocks of the urinary system. What would be a building block of an organ system? It would be an organ. Like, what's an organ that helps make up the urinary system?
Urethra.
Urethra. That's nice. That's not the one that comes to my head right away. Some other ones maybe would be?
Bladder.
That's not the first one that comes to my mind right away, but it's important. I would think, what? Kidney. Okay? But there's only four. There's kidney, ureters, bladder. bladder, and urethra. Right? Now we're gonna, that's gonna be a chapter all by itself, right? Same thing for respiratory system. All right, and nervous system. What's an organ in the nervous system? Brain would be a good one, okay? All right, and now here is a tough one, integumentary system. No one has heard of that one before they took an anatomy class. I can't imagine. Okay, but it's important. Okay, it's the largest organ system in your body, and that is your skin and accessory structures, right? And that's your integumentary system. So if I was going to put a question on the test, all right, something about organ systems, guess which one I would check to see if you knew something about? Would I say digestive system? Because you could probably name five or six organs right now without even taking an anatomy class. What organs participate in the digestive system? Well, you got your mouth, your stomach, intestine, small, large, that's too easy. Guess which one I would want to pick on? Yeah, I would want to pick on something that's really harder to know, something that actually shows me that you're studying. That would be like integumentary system, right? So make sure you're familiar with integumentary system. Today's not the day, but say it's May or June and you went out to the beach and you got sunburn and you went home, I want you to be able to say, oh, Mom and Dad, I burned my what? My integument. Okay? You got to be able to use these terms. Hopefully they won't smack you. Okay? But learn these terms. Okay. Terminology and body plan. So you got some good figures in your book. Let me say something about anatomic position. Okay. So let's say you're in class right now. Okay. But you're going to meet a friend right after class, someplace downtown Long Beach. All right. So you got to leave here, go to downtown Long Beach. And on the way there, you get lost. You're going to meet some friends. Okay. You get lost. So you got a cell phone, you call your friend and say, oh, help me, I'm lost. How can I get to where you're at? And your friend is going to say what? I can't help you. Because why? Because you didn't tell your friend where you are. Right? So you got to tell your friend where you are in order to get from one place to another. If you don't know where you are right now, you can't get anywhere. Right? So anatomic position is real important, because it's going to tell you how to maneuver around inside the body, but the body has to be in a special configuration to get from one place to the other. Right? It can't be like this. Right? We got to start with anatomic position, which is a standard position when somebody's standing on their feet, facing forward, with their arms down by their sides. And that's close, but not quite. What do we got to do? Palms of your hand facing forward. Okay, this is anatomic position. Now when you say go right to left or up and down, okay, that's going to mean the same thing to people all over the world. Right? So if you're going to ablate a structure or something, you can say we'll take the one out that's to the left of it. You got to know which way is left. If your hand is like that, you're going to take the wrong thing out of somebody, right? So anatomic position is really important to know how to get around in the body. All right. So this is anatomic position. The front of your body is called the anterior part or ventral. Anterior and ventral. We use those terms interchangeably. It's a mind teaser. I don't know why that is, but you got to know anterior and ventral. The backside is called posterior or dorsal. Okay? All right, so that's anterior, posterior. Let's see. There is superior and inferior. Superior means up toward the head. Inferior is down toward the feet. Okay? There's another term that people use sometimes. It works better for four-legged animals than two-legged animals. It's called cranial and caudal. Cranial means toward your brain, okay, which sort of means superior. Caudal means toward your tail. Does that work for people real well? Don't have much of a tail left, right? But tail means like inferior, right? You can actually use that, okay? Superficial and deep. You got a lot of complicated stuff inside your body, and even organs have different layers inside of them. The layers or the parts of your body or an organ that's on the surface, that's superficial. The parts that are more on the interior, that's what we call a deep region. So superficial is on the surface, deep is toward the interior. That's easy to understand. Let's see. Okay. Medial and lateral. This one's not too hard to appreciate. Think of some midline, right smack in the middle of your body. All right. And we can pick a structure that's right on midline, like your belly button. Okay. And we can compare it to a structure that is not on midline, maybe like your elbow. Okay, and we would use the terms medial and lateral to describe the relationship between these two. So compared to your elbow, what is your belly button? It is medial. It's toward midline. Your elbow, on the other hand, is what we call lateral. More importantly, when you're in anatomic position, what is your fifth digit, your little finger, compared to your thumb, or the first digit right here? The little finger is what compared to the thumb? Little finger is medial. It's more to midline. The thumb is lateral, right? So instead of saying in anatomic position, the hands are facing forward, you have to say what? The thumbs are lateral. And that describes that position in proper terminology. Okay? Okay. Let's see. This might be the hardest concept in directional terms, and that is proximal and distal. And then we'll be done for class. Where's the sign-in sheet at? Is it through there? Oh, keep passing it fast. Okay. Proximal and distal. Think of some center region in your body. Like what would be in the center of your body? Your heart. That's a perfect example. Okay. If something is closer to the heart, we're going to say that it's proximal. If something's farther away from the heart or from center, some center location in your body, we're going to say it's distal. So we could use elbow and wrist and elbow and wrist. All right. So the elbow is proximal compared to the wrist, or the wrist is distal compared to the elbow. Okay, the wrist is what? Farther away from your heart than your elbow is. So a good way to think of this, when you take somebody's pulse, what's a really easy way to take somebody's pulse? Okay, if they're a healthy person and you're not worried if they're dead or alive, okay, it would be on your wrist, right? If somebody's sick and you're worried if they're really dead or alive, you might want to go to the carotid artery right here. But usually if you want to check your heart rate, you go to this little pulse right here that's on a radial artery. But it's what? Far away from your heart compared to your neck. So we call that the distal pulse, right? As opposed to a more central or proximal, right? So that's why we call that distal pulse, because it's far away from your heart. All right, so that's it for lecture today. Make sure you sign the sign-in sheet. We covered a lot of administrative stuff today. Catch up with your pre-lecture reading assignments. Show me next time when you come in. And if you need to add the class, you got to go to the lab to get a spot in lab. And if you can't get into Blackboard, you got to see me this week to make sure you have privileges. And don't forget about SI. Hold on, let me turn this recorder off so I don't say something.